it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
But on Sunday, the New York Giants get a chance to dust themselves off from the brutal loss to Denver and do something they haven't done in more than a decade. Beat that Eagle Tuchus again. Now, Tiki, you tell me, are you confident that we can see that happen on Sunday?
You know why you're confident if you're a Giant fan? Hell, if you're the Giants themselves, it's because you just did it 2 weeks ago. And unfortunately, they've been riding the roller coaster in the Jackson Dart era. That is, play a good game and win, lose a horrible game. Play a good game and win, lose a horrible game. So now we're on the upswing. And so this should be the win weekend for the New York Giants. But I think more importantly, as we talked about the last time the Giants played the Eagles, this Eagles team is just, it's flawed. I'm not saying they're bad because they know how to win. And it's obvious that their record at 5-2, but they also aren't doing everything the same that they were when they won the championship a year ago. Their run game was explosive in 2024. Saquon Barkley was headed towards 2,000 yards. That's not the case this year. Their offensive line was as dominant from left tackle to right tackle as any in the NFL. It's not necessarily the case this year. Jalen Hurts felt like he could do anything. Didn't matter if you were asking him to throw it 40 times a game or run it 20 times a game. He was dominant. They're not that team that they were a year ago, and so they're beatable. And the Giants just beat them, so why would they fear them, I guess, is the way that we can think about it, because for years, as a fan and as a player even, you kind of just was like, man, we're never going to win.
Right.
We just can't beat this team. Now you know you can beat this team.
I'm going to give you two things that as a fan, as a football fan, would worry me going into Sunday.
Go ahead.
And you have the chance as a player to say, you are such a narp. None of that is true. Number one, the brutal loss. Now, right. You're right. The Giants have had a few of those already this year. The loss to New Orleans where they turn the ball over on five straight possessions right. And lose a game that they should have had, a game they had a two-score lead in.
Self-inflicted.
Self-inflicted pain. To their credit, they responded. On a short week, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, even the Dallas game, even though that was the start of a new era with Jackson Dart. There is a part of me that thinks in all sports, when you continue to get kicked in the groin with horrible losses, mm-hmm. eventually you just don't respond. So that's just, you tell me, yeah, is that a real thing?
I mean, it is, but I think it happens when teams know that half the team's going to be gone or the coach is definitely going to be fired. You just stop kind of believing. I don't think that this team has that makeup because there's so many players that are just young and figuring it out and still excited to go to do the next thing. Jackson Dart, he's excited to grow. Cam Scataboo, excited to go. Andrew Thomas is now consistently playing. He's been amazing. Of course, he wants to be the dominant player that he's always been. Brian Burns is trying to be one of the best in leading sackers in the NFL. Right? You think about everything that everybody has to prove still. And I think more importantly, Evan, this Giant team is angry. Right? They're angry. Mm. And sometimes it doesn't manifest itself the correct way. It comes off as, I'm angry at Shane Bowen. But this team is angry. They're angry because they know they should be better than what their 2-5 record tells the NFL viewing public that they are. And I think that motivates you. It makes you want to go prove it every single time you get an opportunity. And that next opportunity is against the Eagles, who you've already beaten.
And that's the other concern. That leads into concern number two. While the Eagles are flawed right now, and mm-hmm. it doesn't mean they're going to end up flawed, doesn't mean they're not going to make the playoffs or win this division, or dare I say, right. Win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're 5-2, and they have a 2-game lead in the division.
Absolutely, which is a great thing for them. Like, right. Despite their issues and flaws and locker room potential problems, they're 5-2 and in command of the NFC East. The Eagles are a better team than the Giants. Now, I would definitely say that the difference between the two teams has certainly been cut.
Yeah.
When we had this discussion a year ago, the difference between the Eagles and the Giants was greater than it is today. But I think we'd have to admit, the Eagles are still a better team. And pulling off the upset that they pulled off a few weeks ago almost, to me, makes it even more difficult to do it again, especially in such a short period of time.
No, the Eagles are not taking the Giants for granted.
And they may have on that short week.
Of course they probably did. The Giants were bad. They had a rookie quarterback who was starting, and history tells you we're going to dominate this game. So I know it's a short week. You know what? Let's go through the motions for a little bit. That's not happening anymore. Right. And especially not happening after what we saw in Denver. And I'm not talking about the collapse. I'm talking about how for, I don't know, 80% of that game, they dominated the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
They dominated them. And then after the game, you even heard the Denver Broncos, Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito, all those guys who were talking crap about the Giants, were like, yeah, you know what? They handed it to us. We kind of got lucky winning this game. And Nick Benito, who was one of the best players in football, was a nothing against Andrew Thomas. So you're not taking the Giants for granted. You're not taking them as a weak puppy who can't find a way to win games. Because, one, you just lost to them. And, two, they're playing good football, except when they hurt themselves.
That's why it's so challenging. This is a very, very challenging game.
I agree with you. But that's kind of what you want, though. Right? If you're the Giants, a character is built by games like this.
That's well said, but you know what I want as a fan? I want a freaking win.
Of course.
That's what I want.
100%. Because that's all I care about.
Well, because
it's winning. It's why I got so upset last weekend when the Giants blew their opportunity by a series of unfortunate events.
Of course. And look, I think this way with all the teams I root for, and certainly even the teams I don't root for, we can sit here and rationally say this is not a playoff team. It's about next year. Yeah. It's not about this year. And I've said that before about teams I root for.
Right. You still want to win.
But you still want to win, and you still dream big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you still, in the course of the action, say, yeah, it's about the big picture. Yeah, it's about 26 or 27. But while I'm here, can I win enough games to make the postseason, especially in any sport? Like the NFL.
Right.
Because the NFL is such a year-to-year proposition, and a part of that is how injuries can just completely derail a season and derail you. So while you're here and while you're playing good football, I want to make the playoffs.
Right.
So losing to the Denver Broncos or losing to the New Orleans Saints, I can't just go, rookies.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's all good for next year. Next year, we don't even know what next year looks like.
Team could be different. Coaching staff could be different.
The coaching staff very well
guys
could be different.
Get hurt. Like, anything can happen.
Well, you hit on it. Guys could get hurt. Like right now, one of the things that has even the playing field talent-wise for the New York Giants over the last few weeks is Andrew Thomas.
100%.
You just called it. And Andrew Thomas is one of those guys where you cherish when he plays.
Right.
Because he hasn't been reliably healthy. So as long as Andrew Thomas is on the field, I better win these freaking games.
I hear you.
I don't know if he's going to be out there next week or the week after that or the week after that. So I haven't taken to this whole, hey, don't worry, it's just about the development of the quarterback. We'll worry about next year.
Yeah.
I want to win.
Well, and then I also wonder, I mean, you said the Eagles are a better team. And I guess I agree with that. But then I look at just the statistical analysis.
Right.
They're kind of the same. Offensively, rankings-wise, they're kind of the same. Defensively, I know the Eagles are better, and a lot of that is because of Vic Fangio, but the Eagles have 11 sacks as a team, right? Most by Ajomo, who has got three. Their leading sacker is three. They got 11 as a team. Brian Burns has 9 by himself. And so, are they better?
Well, so you're right. Like, Tiki's not crazy or wrong when he says, hey, statistically, they ain't that far off.
Right.
I mean, you're right. If you break down the stats, like, the Eagles are 20th in offense, the Giants are 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Tweedledee, Tweedledum.
Right.
I guess to me, where I see them as being significantly better is, as impressed as I am about the quarterback, Jalen Hurts is still a guy who's quarterbacked the team to 2 Super 100%. Bowls and has won a Super Bowl MVP.
And he probably could have won two.
We all love Cam Scataboo, and it's great that he's at Madison Square Garden, Saquon Barkley hasn't had the greatest year ever. He's still Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And then forget the receivers. I mean, Malik Nabers isn't walking through that door. And despite all the possible issues behind the scenes, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown still exist.
That's true.
And so Dallas Goedert still exists.
When you get into the details, why are you worried about details, man? When you get into the details, you're right. It blows them away head-to-head. But, or not blow them away, but it's clearly an advantage head-to-head when you look at the Eagles from a position-to-position person. But I think ultimately it's a team game.
And of course.
The Giants just beat them, and you believe in a team game, you can always find a way to win.
Well, and the ultimate X factor in all of this is let's get back to Jackson Dart. because we are briefly into his NFL career. We are 4 weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the guy screaming into the microphone, you got to sit him for the whole year. You got to take your time.
I didn't disagree with you, man.
No, you didn't. A lot of people didn't. And guess what? I say it into the microphone.
I'm wrong.
I mean, because the kid looks ready.
Yes.
And so what is exciting and what is the unknown is, okay, how much better can he even get?
Right.
We've already seen a lot of good out of him. Like, one of the simple things that draws me in, if I'm a Giant fan, is how many times would we watch an opening drive go nowhere? How many times would we see a first quarter offense that gives you
nothing?
And now all of a sudden, opening drives are actually dangerous.
Right.
The Giants actually have a chance to take an early lead. So that simple thing has changed. And so it is exciting and wondering to know, how much better can it get?
Yeah.
He's already off to a good start through 4 weeks, but can this fifth game in Philadelphia against a team he's seen before, can it get even better? And yeah. I think that's a part of the unknown that's very exciting.
Well, so here's where I am with Jackson Dart. So we've seen that he's ready. You just said it. Is he ready to be an NFL quarterback? The answer is clearly yes.
Right.
Does the speed and the complexity and all these different things that all these really good Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph, these good defensive coordinators have done to him, are they flummoxing him? Is he swimming in it? The answer is no. Right? He's ready for it. But if he's going to be what we all want him to be, that's a great quarterback. It's got to click at some point. And I don't mean, oh, he's reading defense as well. Oh, he's making good pass. I mean, it starts to look like it's ordained or destined to always happen for him. Think about when Pat Mahomes, after his first year, he only played one game. Think about, I think it was probably 5 or 6 games in. It was like, dude, this kid is special. Like, Pat Mahomes is just, he gets it. He knows how to win games. That needs to happen for Jackson Dart. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but, and it might not. He might just be just as good above average quarterback.
Right, right.
Or he could be great. And you'll know that that happens when they win games they're not supposed to, when he makes plays that just defy logic, and it puts your team in a position to win. That's where I am with Jackson Dart. It's early to be thinking about that next step, but why the hell not?
No,
he already looks like he knows what he's doing. So when are you taking that next step?
My only concern about Jackson Dart, and, like, I don't know if it's going to be top 5 quarterback in this league or simply in that range of 10 to 15. Like, yeah, a really good quarterback, but not that superstar franchise quarterback. Right. And it's probably maybe years before we know the answer. The one thing I still feel kind of icky about, the one thing I'm concerned about, is him staying healthy.
Mm.
That the way he plays this game, especially against a tough defense like Philadelphia, who will hit you,
right,
and you'll feel it,
no doubt,
is, does he stay out of the medical tent? Like, that's my concern. And I hate to sit here worrying about that every week. Mm-hmm. And maybe at some point I won't. Maybe the way he plays the game will, in my eyes, become almost safer. Right. Where I'm like, all right, you know, injuries happen, but I'm not worried about it. I still go into Sunday's game. And I remember Sean said this last week. He turned out to be wrong, thankfully. But I think it this week, like, all right, is he going to spend time in the tent?
Mm.
Now, if you're just tuning in, Brian Daboll and the Giants have been fined, right, as well as Cam Scottabu, have been fined,
yeah,
for their actions with the medical tent from 2 weeks ago.
It's a pretty good number, too. $315,000 collectively.
Yeah.
$200,000 to the team, $100,000 to Dabes, and $15,000 to
Scat. And that's because they take concussion protocol and the health of their players seriously, or at least they want you to think that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to fine you heavily. But that is still, like, the underlying concern I have. That as talented as he is, does he stay on the field?
Right, but that's football. I chalk that up to football.
It is and it isn't. Like,
yeah,
of course it's football. Like, guys can get, anybody can get hurt, 100%. But the way he plays the game, to me, lends to it happening potentially more.
No, it scares you a little bit. But I also don't worry about it until I have to worry about it. If he starts getting concussions or getting major injuries, then I'll worry about it. Right now, he survived it. It might be dumbass luck, but so far, he survived it.
And I don't mean the WFN Hall of Fame. I mean Fan Hall of Fame.
The Jets Fan Hall of Fame.
Correct. And quite frankly, the Jet Hall of Fame, the Jet Fan Hall of Fame, is not a Hall of Fame until my longtime partner Joe Beningo gets inducted.
They've been in the Bish for 55 freaking years.
He is not in the Fan Hall of Fame. Mm. And Joe is, like, very humble. So anytime I bring this up to him, like, if you try to bring this up to him on Monday, hey, no, not me. I'm not me. Now, he is a Hall of Famer. And so I click on the link, which I'm about to do, nominate now.
Right.
And I again will nominate Joe Beringle. But let this be clear to the New York Jets. If Woody is listening, or if any of the minions are listening, your Hall of Fame is delegitimate until Joe Beningo is inducted. It was like the WWE Hall of Fame prior to inducting Bruno Sammartino. It ain't a real Hall of Fame.
Daryl, Mr. Smiles, Muhi.
Just wanted to get that off my chest.
Right.
Now, before
who,
we...
Who is in the Jets fan Hall of Fame?
I don't know. It's a good question. Iron Staten Island?
Right.
Who's a great fan? He deserves it.
Let's look this up at some point.
I got to assume Fireman Ed is in there just because... You know, he's recognizable.
He's the most famous one.
Right, famous.
No problem with that. I mean, a fireman, Ed, is, you know, you put him in, he's Babe Ruth. You put Iron Staten Island in, he's like Mickey Mantle. All I'm saying is Joe B's Derek Jeter. Not as good looking, though, bro. Like, he just deserves to be in.
Okay, the class of 2024.
Yeah.
Was Method Man.
Method Man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was a Jet
fan. I don't know if that's the actual Method Man.
It's a different Method Man?
Michael Hulk Hands.
A Hulk Hands has to get in.
Gutrod.
Gutrod was a compiler.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Raymond Loda. Michael Shannon.
Listen, I got no ill will to any of those people. They're probably great Jet fans who are deserving to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But they should realize their status in the Hall of Fame is delegitimized until Joe B's inducted.
I mean, this goes a class every year.
I know. You see Joe B's name?
I'm going through it all.
No.
Nope.
You don't see it. Hey, you know this, Tiki. You worked with him. You listen to him. How is there a Jet fan Hall of Fame without Joe?
And in the class of 2017, Fireman Ed and Ira from Staten Island.
So they were in the original class?
That's what it looks like to me, yes.
Good for them. By the way, they deserve it. I got no ill will towards them or anyone in the Hall of Fame. It's more that Joe's got to be there.
I think it is a similar situation to the Bruno Sammartino thing in that the Jets hate Joe.
They hate me. Well, he said that.
Because I mean, no disrespect to Iron Staten Island. Joe's a bigger name and a bigger, I think, Jet fan than Iron.
Well,
I was huge.
Don't besmirch Ira's name. The guy goes to preseason games on the road.
Okay, fine.
Nothing
against Ira.
But doesn't Joe kill him too much?
That's my point, Teak. I think it's
seriously.
Well, that's what the thing was with Bruno.
Now, granted, it's his job, but he has to kill him.
How could you be a Jet fan and not kill them?
And the Jets hate me. You know they can't stand me.
I mean,
over
think
there.
About
a
that.
Fan is fanatic.
So you have
so
to.
So they're optimistic even in the worst times.
There is no Jet fan today walking
even
the earth that's optimistic about
though,
this garbage.
Even though Fireman Ed did quit him for a minute.
He did. Remember that?
And he's still in the Hall of Fame.
That's
now, was
right.
He in the Hall of Fame before he quit?
So he got in 2017.
When did he quit him for a minute?
I don't remember. I wasn't following the Fireman Ed quitting. I do know that Fireman Ed,
because
I noticed.
So if he quit before he got in the Hall of Fame, Joe B needs to be a Hall of Famer.
It doesn't matter when he quit. Joe's a Hall of Famer.
But they're judging him. Like they're keeping him out because he's so negative the team.
But being
so
negative.
If Fireman Ed got into the Hall of Fame after he quit them, Joe has to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, fair enough. I do think that being negative is a part of being a fan.
Mm.
Like, calling it like it is a part of being a fan. I did notice that Fireman Ed moved the seat because when I was at the game on Sunday, I was looking for him because usually he's in the end zone.
Right.
He actually has 50-yard line seats now.
Oh, he's bougie now.
He got a little bougie.
He's in the coach's club, bourgeoisie.
Good for him.
Having mini hot dogs. You know, he quit the team in 2012.
Is that when he quit the team?
5 years later, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but didn't he quit the team because he like was mad at fans or something like that? Like, I don't think it was about the team, was it?
He announced his departure after the Thanksgiving night butt fumble game.
No, he quit on the butt fumble
game? It was
game
related.
Oh, that can't
And
happen.
It was Sanchez related.
You can't do that.
And forever iconic butt fumble related.
Yeah,
wow.
It was the QB controversy between Sanchez and Tebow, apparently.
Free,
and he returned in 2015.
Free Joe B. Hashtag free Joe B. Free Joe B.
Well said. Now, before we get to your Giant Eagle calls, we do have an update on Giant injuries. Let's go to our injury desk with Tommy Lugau.
Okay, so the Giants have just released their injury report for this game. Paulson Adebo is out. Javon Holland is doubtful. Graham Gano is questionable, but he just met the media and said he's going to play. Brian Burns, who practiced today, is questionable. And Darius Slayton is playing. And on the other side, A.J. Brown has not practiced all week. So he is, I assume, questionable at the best.
We don't know if he's
How much of a blow is not having Paulson Adebo?
I mean, it's huge. It
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Change, even if it's your, it's the what you're getting instead, right? It's the replacement that has been that's been bad, Deontay Banks. Now it's a, we don't know yet. Did he answer any questions on this, or is this just a release? Because I wonder who's scheduled to now start opposite of Cordell Flott.
Probably Banks, which is scary.
But they did sign. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
What does that say about DeAndre Banks if they're going to start a kid they signed off the practice squad?
But he was here in the preseason.
I get you. And Graham Gano is good to go.
I apparently. I don't trust that till I see it consistently.
I don't trust that groin. None of us do. Now, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Alan is in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, Alan?
What's going on, gentlemen? Happy Friday.
What's up, dude?
Yo.
All right. This is my take about the Giants. Expectations have dramatically changed. Let's go back to the Mets of last year. They sucked all the beginning of the season. Towards the end of the season, they went on a crazy run, made the playoffs. We was hyped. Expectations changed that we thought we was going to make the World Series.
Yep, right.
Let's go to this year. This league is quirky this season. All the quarterbacks are dropping. The NFC, besides the Detroit Lions, is the only team that's like a juggernaut. Everybody else is bunched up. Mm-hmm. Our division is giving us a chance to even win a division. We sweep the Eagles, get the head-to-head against them. We're, what, 2-3 games behind them with the second half of the season to still go? Jaden Daniels is injured at this year. Marcus Mariota is not going to get the job done. Mm. The Cowboys suck. I mean, their defense is just terrible.
Well, they've looked good and the last couple of years, last couple of games offensively.
But he is spot on.
Oh, he absolutely is.
And using the Mets is actually a really, really good comparison because in the middle of last year, they were awful. And mm-hmm. then they turned their season around.
Right.
And as they were turning their season around, I certainly as a fan said, hey, you got to seal the deal and make the playoffs.
Right.
You got to make it. And then once they're in the playoffs, my attitude was, I don't know if I'm going to get back. So even though, yes, this could build to something great, you don't know that.
Right.
And the Mets lost in the LCS. They added Juan Soto. And what did it build to? It didn't build to the greatness we had hoped.
Right.
The New York Giants, in a similar vein, you don't know what next year holds. And that doesn't mean Jackson Dart's going to fall off the face of the earth. It means football's a weird sport. He laid out the Jaden Daniels situation right now. He's right.
Right.
They're 3-4. They're about to be 3-5 because they're going to play without him against Kansas City. I don't know if next year Jaden Daniels isn't completely healthy and awesome. The Eagles right now, despite being 5-2, are having their issues. Every year is an opportunity.
Yeah,
and to look at games that you lose or games on, it doesn't matter. It's all about next year anyway. Phooey.
No, especially now. I mean, because you think about if they were sitting at 3-4 as opposed to 2-5, and then they beat the Eagles again.
Be right there.
They're right there with them. I mean, even if they win this weekend, they're two games back of the Philadelphia Eagles with both games in hand. So yep. it becomes a completely different calculation about what this team or this season can be. And it's why, you know, as upset as I was a week ago at, you know, right after the game, you realize it's still not over.
Of course not.
And, you know, the playoffs are unlikely, but there's a path forward still. And it's not even November yet. There's a path forward still for this Giants.
I'm going to say something very simple and very powerful. And I want everybody to think about it after I say it. The playoffs are unlikely until they're likely. Think about it.
It's true.
It is unlikely until it's likely. Tony's in Staten Island. Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. Afternoon.
What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Talk Giants. I think the Eagles will have the advantage this week with a little, you know, the being that they played him already, that being Jackson Dart, and there was a little bit more film on him. I think he, you know, I mean, I want to speak to some of his mechanics.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You tell me. So, you say it. You tell me what you see, what you're seeing out there, and I'll comment.
Well, I mean, look, he's not always consistent. He does have a strong lower body, but like his hip movements aren't always the same, and so it gets inconsistent. That's why we see the deep balls don't often hit, because so much of throwing a deep ball is getting it consistently right over and over and over again, and so. But it's not something I'm overly worried about right now, even though he's a rookie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, a lot of, you know, he's thrown off his back foot. I mean, the quick out, slants,
right?
You know, the ends that are quick and the first progression. He's on those throws. But when he has to go through the progressions, he gets very bouncy.
Yeah, but I think any young quarterback, Tony, and appreciate your call, any young quarterback is going to go through that because – your clock is not fully baked. Like, you don't know exactly how much time you have. So when you get to two or three, you're like, man, I gotta go. Like, I gotta throw this ball now because I know somebody's coming, even if you're fine. And so it's just experience. He needs a lot more experience. But right now, he's playing winning football, save for the mistakes against the Saints and the interception that he threw against the Denver Broncos. Part of which wasn't even his fault. It shouldn't have been called, and Cam Scatterboo got run over, and so he was falling down as he was making that throw. But these things are happening. I mean, mistakes happen for young kids.
You know what's very encouraging about Jackson Dart? He wasn't at the Garden the other night. He is so focused on the Philadelphia
Eagles. He's dialed in.
He is so dialed in. Meanwhile, Cam Scatterboo's, you know, showing muscles, wearing his Brunson jersey. Aaron Judge is, season's over, who cares? Cam Schlittler, season's over, who cares? And I see Jackson Dart.
Right.
I was curious about that. Like, would Jackson Dart, who is right now, he's not the king of New York. We all know that is still Jalen Brunson, but probably Aaron Judge. But he's emerging. He's like a prince. And so him showing up at Madison Square Garden would have made a lot of sense. He would have gotten the biggest hand.
Yeah, too much work to do.
And he chose not to.
He chose to go work.
How about that?
Or maybe he was out to dinner with his girl or something like that. I don't know.
Or maybe he's taking a liking to watching Nets Hornets that night.
Or maybe he's a Utah Jazz fan and he just doesn't want to go to watch another team.
And you know what? They did win that night, too. He got to see a Utah victory. Let's go to Bruce from Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing today, guys? Listen, may Jackson Dart become to the Philadelphia Eagles what Aaron Rodgers was to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if the Giants can win their remaining divisional games, plus maybe a couple of other games, Brian Daboll will have no problems coming back next year. And I think he'll get a lot of support.
Well, that would get him, I'm doing the math, to five wins, and then you throw in another one or two in the non-divisional games, seven wins, two wins against the Eagles, and splits against Dallas and Washington. That's not terrible.
No, it's not.
That's not bad. I don't know how likely that is. I mean, sure, that's not bad. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you guys doing? Great show, as always.
Thank you.
I got a question for you. Do you know what record that Dart just tied?
No.
There's only two quarterbacks that did what he did in the first three. Come on, guys. Evan, you don't know this? You usually know everything.
Look at you. You're like,
I got you.
Well, I don't know what. Okay. Well, hold on. Before you say anything, I don't even understand the record you laid out. Right. What is the record you're saying?
Tommy, do you know?
I do.
Well, I can't tell you what the record is, and you'll know the answer.
Wait, so you're. Hold on. Let's make things clear. You're saying, guys, do you know the record that Jackson Dart just set? And that's the only information you're giving us?
Okay. Let me do a more specific.
I'm clarifying what the question is. The question is, there's a record. Do you know what it is? Is that what you're asking?
He did something after three games that only two other quarterbacks did in the history of
America. Can I guess?
Go ahead.
I swear to God, I have nothing in front of me. And I wasn't using that time to look it up. I'm going to go with something about running for touchdowns. Something about rushing.
Yes.
Oh,
do you know what it is?
What, multiple rushing touchdowns and multiple passing touchdowns?
No.
Go ahead.
First three games, rushing 50 yards or more in each game. Other two quarterbacks to do that were, guess who?
I'm going to assume Lamar Jackson.
And who else?
Michael Vick.
Randall Cunningham?
Yes, you got it, Michael Vick.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We split the baby. Beautiful.
Tiki, before you guys let me go, I have one question, a football question that you can answer for me.
Go ahead.
The way that Scatterboo runs, yeah, what are the chances are he makes it through a second contract? Or is the guy going to be dead by 28?
Don't say that.
I don't want to even think about it.
Say injured. Don't say dead.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Look, I hope that by year three, they give him the second contract. So he's I don't know what his deal is, because he was fourth round. So it's probably a 4-year deal. I don't know specifically, but let's say that they just extend him after his third year. So yes, he gets a second contract because they do it earlier, but not play out through your 4 years and then in year five, we'll pay you.
He's not going to get a second contract because they're going to pay Jackson Dart a ton of money and they're going to be smart at running back.
That's why I'm
and
saying.
Draft somebody
that's
else.
Why I'm saying. You got to pay him early.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's also possible. You know what I'm thinking about? And I want to get ahead of this because otherwise I'll be looking this up late Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So the New York Giants did something against Denver. That was pretty cool. Something I hadn't done in a while. They scored 30 points in back-to-back games.
Yes.
And I remember we asked Sean earlier in the week, look it up. When was the last time the Giants scored 30 points in back-to-back games? What if they score 30 points again? Mm. Fair question. So during Mario's question and, you know, the whole thing,
yeah,
I was like, let me do that research because I am curious. And I do have the answer. The last time the Giants scored 30 points in three consecutive games. 2006 is your guess. Luke, you want to guess?
I'm going to go a year later, 2007.
Not as long ago as you guys think.
Okay, go ahead.
2014. They had three straight weeks against the Houston Texans. They beat them 30-17. The Washington then Redskins 45-14 and Atlanta 30-20. And then they followed all of that up by getting shut out by the Eagles 27-0. So it has been 11 years.
They scored 100 points and then got shut out.
How crazy is that? That's probably the weirdest part of that factoid.
What was their record at that time?
At the time
of
they
the shutout,
were
the shutout.
So it was three consecutive victories that propelled their record to 3-2. They began the year 0-2. They got to 3-2. And then after that, they then proceeded to lose seven in a row.
Mm.
So the season spiraled out of control, right, and they finished the season 6-10, and it was the second to last year of Tom Coughlin.
Right.
But that's how long it's been. And I'll ask you this. Are the Giants scoring 30 points on Sunday? Will they join that team in doing that?
I mean, they can.
That's not the question. You're going, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. You think they're scoring 30, Tommy?
I think they are scoring 30. I think they're also giving up 30, so I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. But, yes, they score 30.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they're going to score 30.
Really?
No. No.
It doesn't behoove the Eagles to try to play a shootout.
Yeah, and that's not the kind of game that the Eagles normally play.
No.
Number one.
But they can.
Sure.
Giants secondary's banged up. If A.J. Brown plays, they could get big plays down the field, score a lot of points. I'm assuming they want to get Barkley going at some point this season.
I just don't think, like, other than the Giant game from 2 weeks ago, that's the only time this year the Eagles have given up 30 points. Now, granted, right, it was to the New York Giants, and credit. Now, some of that came on defense, if we're being fair.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they're giving up. They're not giving up that many points.
Yeah, but they scored 30 against the Rams. They scored 31 against the Bucks. Now, part of that was a blocked kick, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then they scored 28 against the Vikings. So, I mean, they can get there.
Also, a revenge spot. The Giants were doing all the dancing, ripping their shirts off. Maybe they want to lay one on the
But that's
Giants.
Not arguing why the Giants are going to score 30. That's
no,
just arguing
I'm saying
they're
the Giants
going
to
score
to
a lot of points.
To keep up with them, and I think the Giants could put up points against the Eagles' defense.
Okay. I say no. Not surprised by this. I'm not surprised that the Giants over here were like, yeah, 30, sure.
I just believe in my team.
No, I respect that. I respect that. Let's go to Chris in Verona. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Fellas, great show as always. Tommy Lugauer, the Giants will score 30 points, 31 points this weekend. Real quick on the injuries. When Thomas got hurt, he was out of position, right? He was chasing down an interception, a pick six. Bad teams get injured. Good teams stay healthy. Let's just be a good team.
That's
and
true.
We're going to win this weekend. It's going to be 31-20 with an Eagles garbage time TD to get him to 20 points.
Wow.
As
nice.
Long as Shane Bowen isn't Henry Winkler in The Waterboy and reading out a coaching for dummies. My goodness, Shane Bowen, what are you doing? He is the guy putting the players out of position. And all I'm going to say is if you saw Brian Burns walking off the field, you know it's true.
True.
You know
but
it's
he,
true.
He walked that back and appreciate your
He
call.
Also denied that what he was saying was about Shane Bowen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's true. You tell me if that's just him trying to eliminate any controversy. For those that missed it, we played the clip back on Monday, but as he was leaving the field and walking through the tunnel, he was basically screaming about...
Well, what did he specifically say?
He was screaming about drop eight.
Dropping eight, right.
Now,
and it was interpreted that he was talking about Bowen's decision to do that.
But he could have been talking about Drew Phillips. Like, this is the easiest coverage to play. Drew Phillips, dropping eight. What the hell are you doing?
Right.
Don't lazily cover the wide receiver. Actually play the coverage. And we don't have this situation.
Let's go to Rich in Tom's River. What's up, Rich?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for the call. I got two quick questions, one for each of you. Is that okay?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, Tiki, every time I say it, I love you the best. So is there a world where if the Giants win five or six games, Dart keeps going the way he's going, does Brian Daboll survive? And is there a world where Shane stays in Daboll... and Daboll goes, please say no.
I don't think so.
Please say
no. Yeah. My gut is that it feels, they're not tied, but it feels like if something bad happens, then they're both going to get faulted for it. You know what I mean?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And Evan, so I got another question for you, a little off topic. I got a 7-year-old, loves the Yankees, loves the Giants, cried himself to sleep Sunday night. Do I keep making him love the Giants, or do I let him go on his own road? I know you're an expert at this, and he cried himself to sleep Monday morning, cried himself to sleep.
What do I do in this situation? Believe Evan? It or not, Rich, because I happen to root
seven.
For...
He's seven.
He's seven. Believe it or not, even though I root for all these horrible teams, there's this like belief that I'm forcing the Jets and the Nets and the Mets and the Islanders on my kids. I don't. Mm. I guide them. This is who daddy loves.
Right.
This is who makes dad upset. This is who makes dad happy. And so far, it hasn't failed me. Mm. Now, could it at some point? Like, I'm taking Spence to a Nets-Knicks game. Could that go badly? Of course it could. He could say, I'm not rooting for that garbage. Jet even told me this morning, we were talking about the Jets, and he said, Dad, that game was so boring. And I'm like,
so
I know.
Boring.
The Jet game?
Yeah, Jet of course. Game.
And that's what I explained to him. I was like, good news, Jet. Football's not that boring. Mm. The Jets are boring. They suck. It's a part of who they are.
Mets so suck.
I'm calling it like it is to them and letting them decide. Mm-hmm. So with your 7-year-old, Rich, let him decide. You know, he's very upset about the Giant loss. He cried about it. Let him decide. It could cause him to walk away, or in all likelihood, he's going to follow Dad.
Mm.
And I think that that's the road to take. At least that's my advice. Now, Sean usually disagrees. I'm sure if I asked BT, maybe he wouldn't be a big fan of like his son rooting for the Mets or something. I don't know.
Sean has girls, though, so it's different.
Yeah, but he's also made it clear they're rooting for his teams. Like, he's not screwing around.
But he's not also exposing them to any other teams.
That's true.
Letting them watch any other teams.
That is true.
Your kids are paying attention to other teams.
I am allowing them to watch what they watch. Understand this is who Dad loves.
And you're not lying to them like Sean does and says, yeah, the Giants won last night.
Oh, bro. I mean, lying. The conversation I had this morning about the Jets was just as raw as it could be. I said, not only do they suck, Jet, they're probably going to suck for a really long time. And his answer was, if we go to another Jet game, do you think they'll still be this boring? And I said, I'm not going to lie to you.
So he only cares about being entertained.
Well,
it's not even about the wins and losses. It's compounded because it's also boring.
I think if they won, it would be more entertaining. Dude,
yeah.
Did you watch a lot of Jets-Panthers?
Unfortunately.
Okay. If you
it were... was bad both sides. it really was.
Imagine, like, as a kid, this is your, you're starting to be introduced to football more and more. Like, this is the first game, you know, you're going to, and you watch that. What would your reaction be?
Was that his first game?
It wasn't, but it was like season tickets,
your
first
tickets,
row.
This is our thing.
Focusing on it. Like, I took him to a few other games. He was younger. Mm-hmm. It was more like, oh, here's the food. Here's this. It was that. It was like the game is on, but there were other things. Mm. This was like, we are watching a football game.
Right.
And for a quarter and a half, like, he's following it like, yeah, they should kick here. They should do that. They should do that. And then finally, after like the 10th punt, it's like, I want to go to sleep. This is garbage. And I can't argue with him. Like, the one thing I'm looking forward to, I'm taking him to the Nets game tonight, is they're going to lose by 30. We get that. They suck. Can it be entertaining? Mm. Like, Donovan Mitchell goes for 40. Okay. Igor Zhemin goes for 22. They're taking threes.
You're
like,
gonna,
it's up and
you're,
down.
You're going to win because Cleveland's been hanging out for two nights.
That's also a possibility.
I'm telling you.
You never know.
Take the Nets first half, for sure.
100%.
They weren't going to church, Cleveland, the last 2 days. You're following up the Jet game and that boring game and bringing this kid to Barclays tonight?
We get to see the Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, you're forgetting
I
that
know.
Part.
Does he
want to see Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs?
No, I explained.
Is he aware enough of what they have done and what they are supposed to do?
Well, I told him we're facing a really good team.
Okay.
You know, a team that's not some other bummy team, like a really good team. The question is entertainment, not our... We all know that they suck. Like, that's explanatory. But if the Jets had played the Steeler game and I took him to that game, he would have said that was very entertaining.
Of course.
But, of course, the Jets lost. The way they played Carolina and the way they played the previous week against Denver and London, like, it is boring football. So it's not about the results or the winning and losing. It's, will you be entertained? Now, will tonight's Nets-Cavaliers game have some entertainment? Like, based on what you just said about take the Nets first half number... Yeah, it'll be a fun game.
But then take the Cavs second half. So you're right, they'll be in it at halftime.
That's it. There's entertainment.
But what do you tell Jet when kids in his class ask him to name any Nets players and he can't? Like, how does he go through that process?
He knows Cam Thomas and Nick Claxton.
Oh, but like new Net players. Can he run through any of those?
Daddy has a tough time saying their
That's
names.
Fair. I mean, he's going to have a lot of questions after this game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.